You know what? I am just going to get started. I am so, whenever I get the chance to speak in seminars, I tend to put more material than I do. You know what? You know when you're at church, it's kind of like a 30-minute message, but when you're at a seminar, you get more time. You're like, oh no, what's she talking about? So I really want to honor your time and get you to your kids, your kiddos in time. So I'm just going to dive in. All right? I'm going to dive in. So Lord, I just thank you so much for your presence in this place. I thank you for the ways you've already spoken to us. And it seems to me the thing about blind spots is that we can't see them. So we ask by your Spirit that you would uncover the things that we can't see, and that you might even use our spouse or children to gently point those things out. And would we humbly receive those things as you reveal them to us this week? I pray, God, for those in this room who have felt interrupted by big things and small things, that today you would give us a fresh perspective, that you would infuse us with hope, with new life, that you would show us your purpose, that you would unveil, you would lift the veil and uncover some of the treasures, the gifts that you have for us that we're not even aware. So God, we give you this time. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be honorable to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I love this quote that I mentioned in the introduction, which is, my whole life I have been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I realized that my interruptions were my work. That's such a powerful quote, isn't it? It's and I think it's kind of, when I first read that, I was a little bit resistant. I'm like, no, you know, a little resistant to it. I mentioned this, but a year and 3 months ago, I was 46 years old, and I had just decided to quit a job that I had been really passionate about. But just kind of, God had just put in my spirit to let it go. So I thought I was moving into a season of freedom, of really kind of just what might be next. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from Alameda County Adoptions notifying me that the baby girl we'd adopted 10 years before, that her birth mother had another baby. And within 5 minutes, she asked if we wanted to adopt him. So my life went from having 2 seniors in high school, 1 foster, 1 bio, and our daughter, who was 10, to imagining the possibility of a baby boy and starting all over. I'm telling you, this phone call was a major interruption to my plan. This was the first day he was home. Our little Isaac Aaron, needless to say, we said, yes, you'll see him running around this campus this weekend with curly hair. This interruption changed the course of my life. And so as I was so derailed, really, by this gift, this challenging, beautiful gift, as I was just derailed with that, I began to find myself on this journey of deep spiritual discovery as God was awakening me to this whole way that he had worked through my life, through the interruptions. It seems that that is often the way that he unfolds the plan for our lives. My motto has actually become plan to be surprised. Anyone else have a life that the plan was one way? All of us, I think, have a plan. I mean, most people I know have a plan, some kind of plan, even if it's loosely held. But what actually happens is so different. And so I had thought, oh, plan to be a surprise. I talked about that for years, about my other situation. I thought the surprise, do you ever think that maybe the surprises are over? Maybe the interruptions are over? Maybe the hard stuff is over? And then you're like, oh, okay, no. Plan to be surprised. And so as I thought about that, I was thinking about Jesus and reading through the Gospel of Mark and noticing again that Jesus was constantly interrupted. He was constantly interrupted. Look at this passage. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Now, you'll hear that in time alone with God, right? That Jesus often withdrew to solitary places to pray. But look at this part. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone's looking for you." They interrupted his time with God, the Father, right? This is what it feels like to be a mother of young kids in the bathroom. You're in there for 60 seconds, and you come out, and there you are. Where have you been? Right? I was just by myself for 60 seconds. I feel like this is what they were saying to Jesus. Everyone's looking for you. Where were you? And of course, with compassion, he moved and went to where they were going. But I'd never noticed that before. I always focused on that Jesus often withdrew to solitary places to pray. And they hunted him down and found him. And then this story that's one of my favorites in Mark chapter 2, where he is teaching in a house. And it's so crowded that what happens? These four guys have a sick friend, and they can't get to Jesus. So they have a brilliant idea to cut the roof open. I mean, this is extraordinary. To cut the roof open and drop him down, interrupting Jesus' teaching right there. And how does Jesus handle it? He takes that interruption as an invitation to healing, as an invitation to teaching the religious leaders what was really going on. Right there. How can you imagine that happening right now? This is powerful. Again, in Mark chapter 5, one of my favorite stories, again, I love the Gospels, is the bleeding woman. Jesus was on his way to heal a sick little girl, Jairus' daughter. He was on his way there. And Jairus was very quickly, come, she's about to die. Come with me. And this woman just touches. He doesn't want to disturb. This woman, this unclean woman who was completely breaking all the rules to be out around people, touches Jesus, so desperate for healing. She touches him. And he feels the power going out. What does he do? He could have just let the power go out and got to his destination, which is probably what I would have done, because I'm always in a hurry to get where I need to be. And Jesus waited, and he stopped, and he turned around. Who touched me? Disciples, what do you mean, who touched you? There's crowds everywhere. Let's go heal this girl. No, who touched me? And he has this beautiful conversation in which he calls this woman who'd been isolated for 12 years, bleeding, unclean, no children, no husband, completely alone. He's called her daughter. He gives her identity. One of the most beautiful stories we see, and it was right in the middle of an interruption. What I notice about Jesus is that he was not perturbed by I am so easily perturbed by interruptions. Anyone else kind of snappy when things don't go quite the way you planned? I don't like to be interrupted. Jesus, however, welcomed interruptions as invitations. This is what I see in his life. Jesus welcomed interruptions as invitations. And I wonder if you were to literally consider this as you go about your everyday, when something interrupts you, asking God, is this an invitation from you? What we do is we assume right away that it's an annoyance, it's getting us off topic, it's getting us off plan. What if we let go of that assumption and we begin to imagine that this is actually an invitation? One of my most favorite interruptions is here in Mark chapter 10. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. They were interrupting him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with the disciples. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hand on their heads and blessed them. I love this story as a mom, as a parent. Jesus did not see these children as annoyances. The disciples saw them very much as interruptions in the work of the Messiah, in the work of the rabbi, their teacher. But Jesus, very upset, angry. You only see he's indignant or angry in the Gospels a handful of times. And this is one of them. When people are messing with babies, people are messing with children. God has a special heart for children. Jesus, in another passage, says, "Anyone who welcomes a child welcomes me." That is your children. When you welcome a child, you are welcoming him. I really feel like if we're honest, sometimes our kids are the most annoying interruptions. I mean, am I the only one? I was just a few weeks ago trying to get, I think I was working on this message. And I was on my computer, and my little Isaac, who's 22 months old now, was kind of just, he's total extrovert, people person, wants to be engaged all the time. And he just came up, and I was like, I've got to get this done. Go play with your blocks. Go build a tower. And I was just so, and then I thought, okay, what if I practice what I preach? And so what I did is I pushed my laptop back, I picked him up, I nuzzled his tummy, I tickled his tummy, belly laughter, joy, and we had this beautiful, sweet moment. And I realized, and God just said to me, this interruption was an invitation to joy, Christy. It's an invitation to joy, and yet you're choosing to stay over here. This morning, I got up early to try to prepare for this morning, to just be with God alone. I got up at 6:30 and just Spirit fill me. I mean, 2 minutes after I get up, my 11-year-old is up. She's so excited she can't contain herself, right? It's the first day of camp. She comes in, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to read my Bible, you know? And the Spirit's like, Christy, you're already prepared for this talk. This is your baby girl, and she's excited, and she's trying to figure out what she wants to do. This is an invitation to being present and loving this child that you prayed for, by the way, for 8 years of infertility. So let's be present. There was a morning very similar to this when she crawled up in my lap and said, Mama, you smell like love. Mama, you smell like love. This is the child of my answered prayer. And how much do I miss? How many moments do I miss? Because I am so worried about getting where I think I need to be when God says, you are where you're supposed to be, right here. Interruptions by our children are often invitations to joy. This is a picture of little Isaac on his adoption day when he became our official son. He embodies joy, and his name means laughter, Isaac. He laughs because I'm much like Sarah, old and tired. And Sarah and Abraham, so we named him Isaac. There's another whole story there. But Jesus, not only was Jesus interrupted, but what does he do? He interrupts. Check this out. He interrupts. Hey, guys, leave your nets and follow me. And what do? Drop what they're doing and go where he's going. They're in the middle of something else. This is several times we see this in Mark, that they literally drop what they're doing to follow him. I think that is so incredible because I think that this shows us that Jesus, he didn't stop interrupting when he left this earth. He didn't stop tapping and asking us to drop what we're doing and invite us into the work that he has for us. I think sometimes, I want to acknowledge that there are interruptions that are not from God. Okay, so there's interruptions that I believe are designed by just being part of this human world, but are also designed by the enemy who wants to steal and kill and destroy the work of God in your life and wants to steal and kill and destroy the kingdom of heaven. We are a part of this unseen world, this kingdom of heaven that is on earth. We are, our role as the light of the world, Jesus said you're the light of the world, and our role is to actually be here and embody this light to the world that others would see him. We have been called to bring a touch of heaven to earth by the power of Jesus and by his Spirit. That was his prayer. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as we are bringing heaven to earth, the enemy wants to, what does the enemy want us to get focus on? The world. Because in John, it talks about how Satan is the prince of the world. So this weekend, I was interrupted by my 19-year-old getting in a car accident. Our third car, that's for when things happen, stalled on Saturday. So this whole weekend was interruptions of the world things that we have to deal with. Money going out, time going out. Isn't it just a pain more than anything? Well, at 3:00 in the afternoon, I went to a baptism of a little boy that his mother baptized him in their backyard pool. And it was so gorgeous. And the Spirit of God was so in that moment. And all of a sudden, the Spirit said to me, this is what your life is about. I had discipled this mama when she was 15 years old. And now she's a 35-year-old woman who's baptizing her son and wanting him to follow. And he's saying, I want to be baptized because I want all my friends to know that I want to follow Jesus. And I'm like, this is my real life. This other stuff I have to deal with because I live in this world. But this is the essence. And this is where I want to focus. Thank you, God, for this kairos moment where I realize what really matters. And I think sometimes when we're derailed by these interruptions that really feel like they come from the enemy or come from outside, from evil, that sometimes they can be a way that we are being Satan is trying to tear us down. But there's always an invitation from the Spirit, even in the things that don't go well. For instance, for me, I am so thanking God that my precious 19-year-old daughter was simply in a fender bender, and that I'm not in a hospital bed with her right now, that I'm not planning a memorial service, not to be dramatic, but that happens. So and thank you, God, that that happened. It can make her more attentive. So there's always a way that we can even reframe interruptions that clearly are a bummer into what is God doing? Where is the gift here? And sometimes we have to really dig. You have to dig. Holy Spirit, help me to see the way you see where the gift is in this. So just like Jesus was interrupted and he interrupts, I believe that there is so much that he's doing in your life through the interruptions. So the question then becomes, are you willing to be rerouted by the interruptions of Jesus? Are you willing to be rerouted by the interruptions of Jesus? Because it's really your choice how you respond to his invitations. As I was praying the last couple of weeks about how to really facilitate this time together, I was struck by the story of Moses and how his life was profoundly interrupted in Exodus chapter 3. So I'm just going to read that. Those of you who have your Bibles, it would be great if you could turn there with me. I'm in Exodus chapter 3. I'm just going to read the story, and then we're just going to look at a few principles of how what we can be, just some strategies of how we can understand our interruptions as invitations. So Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am God the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have seen it. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of all these ites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? And God said, I will be with you. I see so much here that we can glean from this idea of interruptions. First, we see that Moses is just doing his everyday, Acts chapter 7 tells us that he had been in Midian for 40 years. Moses is pretty much thinking this is what his life is going to be. He's not, we kind of think of him as this young prince of Egypt like the movies show us. Like he's kind of just wondering when he's going to go rescue them. I don't see that here. I see a man who's in a corporate job that his father-in-law got him for 40 years. And in the middle of that life that he thought was going to probably stay the same forever, God comes and interrupts his very everyday life. Has that ever happened to you? You are where you think you're going to be. This is good. I'm smooth sailing. It's all good. He thought his life was set. This is what I perceive. That's not in the text, but that's what I see. 40 years. And the way he responds shows us he wasn't real quick. He wasn't real quick to jump in. His passion, remember what his passion for people was. He was very passionate about his people being in slavery. How do we know that he was passionate about that? Because 40 years before, he'd killed someone who'd mistreated one of his Hebrew people. And that's why he ended up in Midian, because he ran away. So what happens is 40 years ago, he had a passion that he acted on in the wrong way. And so I believe that that passion was lying dormant in him. Is there some passion that is lying dormant in you? Something that God has put in the depth of your soul. Something that makes you cry, or something that makes you so angry about the injustice of this world. Something that you are so, that you once upon a time thought that you could make a difference in. But time and age and life has happened. And so you're like, no, I know. And you've lost that passion. Here is God coming to Moses through a burning bush and saying, oh, guess what? I want to awaken that passion that has been lying dormant in you. And I believe there's people in this room right now that there's passion right there settled in your soul, and it's been covered up with life and the American dream that tells you that you need to be comfortable. And God knows, you know, and God knows that it's going to be uncomfortable to go ahead and live into your passion. It's going to be uncomfortable to be rerouted by the interruptions of Jesus. But it is going to be so worth it, because what he's doing is tapping into something that's already in you, that he put in you when he knit you together in your mother's womb. You were his idea. And he put all this stuff in you, including your passions. I'm so moved by this, that here's Moses just tending his sheep, and there's a burning bush. And I wonder how often there are burning bushes in our lives that we miss. How many of us are here with our devices, and all of the white space in our life is taken on? We can't look. We're never looking up, because we're always looking down. We wouldn't see. If Moses had a cell phone and was really into, like, I don't know, Minecraft, he was really into it, is it possible he would have missed the burning bush? I don't know, but maybe that's ridiculous. But I think maybe it's not so ridiculous, because maybe the burning bush was a little thing. I don't know. But what I do know is that we are not paying attention, because God is always speaking, and there are burning bushes everywhere if we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. If we would stop being so people of the world and start being kingdom people and start to say, God, lift the veil. Yeah, I have to live in this world, but lift the veil so that I can see what you're doing in the unseen kingdom. I'm not talking about waiting around for heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having an understanding of what is really going on and what really matters, and that God is more at work than ever. We just can't see it. So where are these burning bushes that you might be missing? This is a great week to look up and out and to see, where are you inviting me into? I think sometimes the reason that we miss the burning bushes is because we are in a hurry to work the plan that we think we need to have, right? And that's okay. We have plans. Some of us were made. God made some of us to be very plan-based. Not plant-based, but plan-based. And that's okay, but we still have to be willing to give up those plans and to go in a different direction. I think so often we're in a hurry. Bay Area, I mean, everyone's in a hurry all the time, sometimes for no reason. Do you ever feel that? Someone's like in line at the grocery store, and they're like in their yoga pants with their head on their hair. It's like, you know they're not going anywhere. They're going home to Netflix. But there's just like, oh, I can't believe I have to wait 5 minutes. There's this spirit of hurry. I remember driving from Oregon into California, and all of a sudden, I just felt this energy behind me. And I feel like there's this spirit of hurry, and I think I don't want to be too dramatic, but I'm going to be. I think that could be a principality and power of this dark world, a spirit of hurry, because when you're in a hurry, you miss God, and you miss people. I didn't mean to be so intense. Calm down. This is going to be encouraging. Okay. Don't calm down. Okay, thanks, Jason. All right. I love these quotes. Love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. It's because hurry kills love. It is one of the greatest detriments to the spiritual life. Dallas Willard's counsel to John when they met together. John asked Dallas, what's the most important thing I can do? You know, I want to get close to God. And he said, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And John Ortberg said, I wrote that down. I'm like, okay, good, good. Okay, now what's next? You must. Yeah, exactly. He wrote about this in, I think, Soul Keeping, or a book similar title to that. I'll get that title for you. He said again, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. This is a spiritual practice, to choose to slow down. A lot of times we're in a hurry and we don't need to be. We think we need to be, but we do not need to be in a hurry. We've shaped our lives so that we have to be in a hurry. What if you were to shape your life so that there was no hurry? Or mostly not. I mean, my friend's like, my super sarcastic friend, she's like, well, what about if there's a fire? And I'm like, yeah, that's a good reason to hurry. But we're hurrying when there's no fire. So it's just a challenge to you. Maybe we need to slow down. What if God is interrupting you because of someone else's prayers? Check this out. Exodus 2. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, so God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. And the text we read today, what does it say? I've heard the cries of my people. I want to deliver them. I'm going to go rescue them. I am their deliverer. So Moses, I'm sending you. You very much are an answer to someone's prayer. There's a child that needs a mama right now, and they're praying. And maybe you're their mom. There's a girl that's been trafficked, and she's somewhere in a hotel room crying out to God, rescue me! And we are the only hands that Jesus has. We are his heart. We are his eyes. We are what he is sending. There are people crying out right now all over the world. All over the world, people are crying out to God. And I wonder if God wants to take their prayers and your passion and together deliver these people out of their pain. Maybe you're the answer to the prayer of a very lonely person who sits next to your cubicle at work. And I was really touched by what Ephraim said. Your perky personality can be hiding what's really going on. Maybe there's someone that needs a friend. And you're the answer. But you're like, I don't have time. And of course you have to consider the cost. Jesus spent so much time with his father that he knew. His father told him what to do. So we need to be so, that's what I'm talking about tomorrow in my seminar. How do we tune into the gentle whisper so we know where to go and what to do? We can't say yes to every, boundaries this morning. We can't say yes to everything. But let's not say no to everything either. I just love the idea. I just love this idea. Does this inspire you the way it inspires me? That you might be an answer to someone's prayer? That God sends you? He sees this, he hears this over here, and then he taps on your shoulder, and he interrupts you and your plans. He's like, I have something I need for you to do for me. And so often, the person that so benefits from that is the one who ends up being the giver. You get to be a part of God's plan in someone's life. There's nothing better. It is transcendent, it is supernatural, and God will use your spiritual gifts and your talents and your passions and the really bad stuff that's happened to you to shape you into this gift to the world. The other thing I see is that Moses was uniquely ordained and designed for this purpose, right? Most of us, I think, know the story that Moses was born to a Hebrew woman and through an amazing course of events was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. So he looked like an Egyptian. He knew how to speak the language. He knew how to communicate with Pharaoh. He knew Hebrew people and he knew the Egyptian people. He was the perfect person to go in and negotiate this deliverance. Through no choice of his own. And sometimes we resent these things that we've been given, right? What if your purpose, often God's purpose for your life will include tapping into things you've had no control over? We don't like this part. We want to like pick the things that we want to be involved in. But often our family of origin, challenging or not challenging, usually it's some combination of that. Your family of origin, your birth order, if you had a special needs sibling, if you were the firstborn or the baby, all these things, the relationships of your parents, if you came from a divorced family, the kinds of things, the trauma that you were, all of these things shape you for how God wants to release you into the world. Your trials, your wounds, your grief, your personality. God uses all of these things. And as he interrupts us, he uses who we are to bring his hope to people in our world. 16 years ago, my life was completely interrupted by secondary infertility. We had had a baby girl. Some of you have heard this story. We had a baby girl who's almost 19. And when she was a year and a half, we started trying for another because my dream was, my plan was 4 kids, 2 years apart. And they would sit at my feet and I would disciple them and show them the ways of Jesus. And they would all walk in his steps all the days of their lives. Okay, that was my dream. And month after month turned into year after year of no baby, no baby, no baby, no baby, no baby. Heartbreak of my life. Faith shift of my life. But what happened was that this whole journey led us into foster care. And the beautiful gift of our Kayla Joy, who joined our family 11 years ago, through foster adoption through Alameda County. God took that painful interruption of my story and actually awakened my heart to the heart of children who need mothers. I realized that there's kids who need moms, and there's me who wants to be a mom, and there was a connection there. And God said, this is what I'm doing in your life. I was awakened to the heart of God for motherless children in a way I had never been. Of course I'd had compassion for foster children before. Of course I had had compassion for the orphan and all the commercials, but not like this. Not like, oh, you are meant to mother one. But because of my pain and my loss and my grief and my just wrestling with God, he awakened this whole new path in me. Then through foster care later, I came in contact with, I had one of the boys that we took care of, his mom had been trafficked. And so my heart awakened to an actual picture of a woman who had been literally Romeo pimped. That's when he pretends to be her boyfriend at a bus stop in LA. Within a month, he had her up on Oakland on industrial turning tricks within a month. And she thought they were boyfriend, girlfriend. I took care of her child while she was trying to get free. Out of that, I realized there's no beds. There's like hardly any beds in this area that are specifically designed to help women who have been rescued out of trafficking. And so God began to birth a vision in my heart to open up another one. So we are literally halfway done fundraising for another house called The Beacon. Okay, sure, I cared about these things before, but until my broken heart, until my heart was broken, God began all these interruptions. Every night phone call with this gal, taking care of her son, every night on the phone with her. And that's when she told me this story. I'm interrupted. I don't want to be on the phone with her at 7:30. It's been a long day trying to take care of a traumatized child and my kids. Interruption after interruption. And God is doing a thing. He's doing a new thing through all these interruptions. I've just recently taken a position at Foster the Bay as the regional director to bring the Foster the Bay vision to Alameda County. Yes, okay, that is so, thank you. The reason it's so exciting is because what this feels like is a culmination of all of the interruptions, all of the brokenheartedness, all of the awakening, all of the passion, all the spiritual gifts into this. I'm now 47, and I feel like I'm moving into this space. There's going to be a lot more interruptions. I would have never chosen this for my life, and yet this is how it's unfolded, through the invitations of the Spirit, through the interruptions. What is your story? The reason I tell you that story is so you can have a real-life picture of how interruptions and even suffering and grief can actually lead us to our life's work. So I want you to think about, what are some of the ways that God is interrupting you? What are some of the ways he has interrupted you? Like Moses, what feels like an interruption to you is really an answer to someone else's prayer. So I want to just suggest a few things. You may be interrupted by the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit, inviting you to reach out to someone in a way that you don't think you have time for, or even in a way that's silly. Have you ever kind of had a nudge about someone, and you think it would be socially unacceptable to just go with that nudge? Check in with God and just make sure you're hearing him. But this is powerful. I was speaking at a women's retreat last October. There was a woman here who lives in Rohnert Park. I talked about how my daughter was going to be going to Sonoma State. The whole weekend, this woman never came up to me, but the Holy Spirit nudged her. She finally emailed me 3 months later. She goes, I feel like I'm supposed to be in your daughter's life. I had been praying for a mentor for my daughter since she has been little, and never has there been a mentor for her. God nudged a complete and total stranger that was sitting in a room to reach out and mentor her. This woman has become this amazing person in my daughter's life. She has home-cooked meal with her every week, has taken her to church, has given her connections for babysitting, and has just been an all-around amazing person in her life. But she was so embarrassed to email me. She never even came up to me because she was too embarrassed because I was the speaker. Whatever, I'm just such a normal person. You guys know that. But for her, she was like, I don't want to go up to her. So it took her 3 months because the Spirit just was like. And when she said that, I was like, you are literally an answer to prayer. Celia, you'll never know her. She is the last person that ever wants to be on a stage. And she is the answer to a mama's cries for years. Just like you're going to be the answer to someone's cries. Tune into that gentle whisper, brothers and sisters. Tune into the gentle whisper and go with the promptings. Let's move in the kingdom instead of being so afraid of this world. Let's move in the power of the Spirit. You may be interrupted by compassion. What if your compassion, if something makes you cry, I mentioned this earlier, if something makes you really angry or something makes you cry, what if that emotion, that compassion is an invitation? Because it feels like an interruption sometimes when you have these strong emotions towards things. You're like, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to know about that brokenness in the world. So what we do is we close our eyes to it. But what's amazing is that you'll find that not everyone cares about the things that you care about. So maybe something breaks your heart or makes you angry. And that, like for me, I am, of course, the homeless population breaks my heart. But I don't feel moved to go and do something very specifically other than be a foster parent, which is going upstream, because there's a lot of homeless teens that come from foster care. So my call in homeless is to be a foster parent, see? But I'm not called to necessarily go and serve the homeless. I'll do that. It's a beautiful calling. Do you see what I'm saying? We're not all called to do the same things. There are certain things and that has to do with our life story and who we know, what we've seen, and all of this. And again, it doesn't have to be the homeless or foster children or trafficked victims or Syrian refugees. It could be your next door neighbor, the widow next door. I have a neighbor across the street with triplets that are autistic. She just wants to talk a lot of the time. Just have someone to talk to. Your compassion may be an interruption. And instead of pushing it down and going, I don't want to feel that, so I'm going to watch, so I'm going to turn the channel. What if you're like, God, what is this compassion inviting me into? What part of the story do you want me to be part of? You may deal with interrupted sleep. What if interrupted sleep is an invitation to what's called vigil? What if interrupted sleep is an opportunity for you to pray for the people in the world that are suffering? What if your interrupted sleep is an invitation? What if you say, God, okay, I can't sleep. I'm so frustrated. I need my sleep. But who do you want me to pray for right now? And a name comes to your mind, and you begin praying. This happened to me about 6 months ago where someone came to mind, this random person that I've never even met in person. He was a pastor that had asked me to come speak at an event, but I'd never met him. I knew he had a chronic illness. For some reason, in the middle of this random night, God brought him to my mind. So I said, God, would you just be with him right now and his family? Would you show him that you're present with him? The next day, I felt really led to just text him, or excuse me, email him and tell him. He said, Christine, I can't believe that you're texting me, that you're emailing me today, because I had the worst night of my life with my illness, with restless leg syndrome. And our daughter in college had called with an emergency crisis that had happened the night before. To know that God was thinking of me and woke you up to pray for me is so deeply, incredibly encouraging. Okay, I can't take any credit for that. That is the Spirit of God. In a moment where I'm laying in bed, puts someone in my mind, and I pray, and it's this amazing answer to someone's prayer, to their cries, to see God sees you. I want to live like this. This is how I want to live my life. I want this to be the way that I live my life with Jesus. I don't want it to be once in a great while I hear from God and move. I want to hear from God. I want to be interrupted by the Spirit every day of my life, and I want to move wherever he has me move. And maybe that's idealistic, but you know what? Maybe there's not enough idealism around this in this world. So let's do it. I'm almost finished, and then I want to hear what you have to say. Is that okay? Okay, I'm almost finished. The other thing that you may be interrupted around is an invitation to take care of someone that you never thought you would have to take care of or want to take care of. And it feels like a major interruption, and it has to be entered in with a lot of considering of the cost. But maybe there's some things that God wants to do in you by taking care of that person. Ways that he wants to shape you and take you to new places with him. When I said yes to Isaac, and I was coming out of a ministry position where I was thinking I was going to move into a season of ministry, you know, living in your 40s and 50s, kind of get to do what you want to do. And God said, no, I want you home with this baby. And I can't tell you how his room has become holy ground. Because when you're 47 rocking what you know will be your last baby, well, hopefully, my husband will say yes, definitely. But as I'm rocking him there, the kind of presence that I have, I didn't experience with my other kids, because I realized it's going to be like that, and he's going to be at college. So every time I go in there, I'm serious, every time, as I rock him, I don't want to rush. I don't rush it. This is a white space in my life where I can hear from God. It's a natural space. Do you have some natural space in your life? That rather than filling it with a book or the phone, I don't bring my phone in there. And I'm a phone girl. I'm on my phone way too much, but I don't bring it in there. And it becomes this holy ground where I can hear from God as I rock him. So taking care of Isaac has completely changed me and brought me to where I am right now in my life. Taking care of him and all, it's been hard. God, I can't believe you did this to me. God, I can't believe you did this to me. Right at the same time, we have to be able to hold both. This is beautiful. This is brutal. Both. I think we're always, as Christians, it's always like, it's so good. We're overcomers. Let's be grateful. Yes. But let's also be okay with this is a hard day. And there's disappointment. And we're grateful. And there's disappointment. And we can live in the tension and walk with Jesus in it. The surprising interruptions that happen in our life are, again, often the invitations that will lead you to the daily purpose and the ultimate purpose for your life. And this is such a spiritual principle, even though it's written by Joseph Campbell. We must be willing to give up the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. This is not my will, but yours be done, which are the words of Jesus. Are you willing to say, okay, I'm going to give up the plan that I had for this day to be rerouted by the plans of the Spirit? And so often, when we are interrupted, it's because God is moving on behalf of someone else and he wants to bring us into it. What if we just simply shifted our perspective, looked at these interruptions as invitations, and what if we begin every day by saying, literally, your alarm goes off and you say, God, I give you this day. I have a plan that I believe you want me to do. But I give you my plan, and I say, I want your plan. And I ask you, Spirit, to interrupt me with the things that you care about. And I ask you, Spirit, to give me eyes to see the unseen, to give me eyes to see the kingdom that is happening. That I live in this world, but I am moving the kingdom of heaven forward by the power of your Spirit in me. And so, God, I pray for every single person in this room right now that your Holy Spirit would fall on each one in a fresh and powerful way, that you would anoint each one. I pray that this very week, each one would be tapped by you, and that you would show each one a bit of what your purpose for them is going to be today, this week, this month, for their lives, God. Would you speak to them? They're in this beautiful setting. They've come here. They want to know you. Everyone in here wants you. Every one of us. We want you, and we want to hear from you, and we want to say yes to you. And God, those of us who are struggling in our faith right now, we ask that you would increase our faith. Some of us that are mad at you because you've interrupted us with things that seemed mean. We remember that you are a good God and that you can take even the worst things and in your beautiful, powerful, redemptive hands, you can shape them into something beautiful. So I pray that those who are in this room that have been interrupted by things that were so painful, that you could show them that you are with them in it and empower them to live in it with fresh perspective, God. We give ourselves to you. We say yes to you, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, that's it for today. But I have someone who wanted to say something in the back. So if you'd like to say, you can, or you can just quietly slip away. Yeah. Yes. Right. So you feel like you're being derailed by unnecessary things, by all these interruptions. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Right. Well, what I think is that maybe that boundaries seminar might be something that would unpack that very specifically for you, because to me, that's an issue of boundaries, of knowing that this, because, yeah, there are times when I'm like, Kayla, this is my time alone with God right now, so I'm going to need you to go back to your room and play. So it's not like every interruption is an invitation from, sometimes there's moments where, right, where we have to say, okay, I'm called here right now. Mama's got to take care of Mama right now, or else I'm not going to be good for anyone, right? So there is definitely that. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're not doing enough. You probably are doing a lot more than you're aware of. Yeah. Well, I really feel like she talked the boundaries. Okay, the boundaries thing might be able to help you shape kind of and look at your life and go, okay, what things are necessary and what things aren't, and how can I shape my life in a way that I live out my priorities? Because that's another thing, which we're not talking about today, but that's such a good point that you brought up, and I hope I didn't communicate that we just always go with wherever anyone wants us to go. There's definitely, that's where being in tune with kind of just the Father's voice and knowing, okay, he's calling me over here, or no, I'm supposed to be here. I can't do that. So, and that's where you need the wisdom to do that. Okay.